We were discussing ovens last time, and the main question when it comes to ovens is what should be the problem. Again, practically the main question is how to use ovens in terms of one after another. Using them at the same time doesn't come up practically as much. I think we are somewhat sensitive to that. And the question is, what should, and this is what I was trying to frame last time, and I don't think I did a good job doing it, which is why, again, I want to take a step back. What should or potentially is the problem with using the oven for two different, for milchiks and fleishiks, one after another? So let's try to look at it like this. We know that if you cook fleishiks in a pot, so there are blios, there's something, whatever that is, from the meat that is going to go into the walls of the pot. And now the next time that you're going to cook something in it, we'll call it milk for a second, that's going to come out and they're going to join together. And the question is when you cook something in an oven, do we sort of view that as being the same thing as cooking it in a pot? It's a different way of just beginning the discussion than we did last time. When you have a halacha of a kli in which something cooks, the kli takes on the status of the food which is cooking in it, how far does that extend? Are we going to be concerned when it comes to the oven as well? Now you'll tell me there's a major difference between the pot that houses the food and touches the food versus the oven that does not come into contact with the food. Again, potentially, maybe something splatters or the like. But again, in terms of the comparison, it seems like a very weak comparison. It seems like a weak comparison. And that's really, and that's why there is no sugya in Shas that deals with what we were calling last time Zeya. But we're dealing with steam. There is a sugya in Shas that deals with reicha. Reicha means aroma. There is an assumption, again, based on a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, may come up in Psachim as well, that when you bake certain items, we know that there is, you know, you open the oven if it's in a small space, and you smell. There is this aroma that the aroma that exists. There's a machlokas, whether reicha milsa, reicha lav milsa. But that discussion will be relevant maybe to the second point about cooling down the oven. That's not the main discussion when it comes to what we were talking about with the Zeya. The reicha discussion is if you have something in a very confined space, what do we have to be concerned in terms of that, in terms of that aroma? So why would we think that there is any problem when it comes to the Zeya? So that is where that Tshuva Sarash that we discussed last time comes from. The Tshuva Sarash has a chiddush that just like we find when it comes to Tumah and Tara, when it comes to, that was the Mishnah we quoted from Machshirin, that when you have the steam or the Zeya which comes off the person who's Tameh, or the bathhouse which is Tameh, that has the status of Tumah as well. That seems to tell us that when you have steam or you have something which isn't mamashus, it's not the thing itself, but it's emerging, it's coming off of something specific, it has that same status. Says the Rush, and again, this is what turns the whole topic on its head, says the Rush, the same thing is true when it comes to milchiks and fleishiks. When you cook food and the steam comes off, that steam is like the food itself. Once that is true, then we can have the beginnings of the discussion of does the oven itself, now that it's touching the extension of the food, which is the steam, does it have the same status as if the item was actually cooked in it or not? That's, again, just a different way of, I think, looking at Zeya and what the potential issues are. Now, again,
the steam and reich are one of the same.
No, they're two completely different topics. Different topics. Right. Reicha deals specifically with aroma. And again, once that aroma dissipates, there's never going to be any concern. Zeya is this steam. And the assumption is that when that gets into the other item, you potentially, again, based on the details, might have an issue. Yeah.
something bothers me about the Rosh's whole premise.
Okay, you're not the only one. There are others that are bothered. No, not again. No, and the thing in the Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch, there are those that are surprised that the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rosh, because you can easily differentiate and say Tumah v'Tahara l'chud, Tumah v'Tahara is alone, and Baser v'Chalav is its own topic, and the two have nothing to do with each other. However, the Shulchan Aruch accepts this psak of the Rosh. So as much as we may be able to point out that there are differences, there are also similarities, and there are enough similarities that the Shulchan Aruch, again, not that that's not the only reason, but that the Shulchan Aruch was certainly willing to accept it. Okay. Now, the next question that we have to deal with is, so now what happens? What happens? Are we worried about whatever this steam is? Are we worried about it getting absorbed into the walls of the oven? Or are we worried about it sort of, you know, getting stuck on the walls? Meaning, is there some way that this is the exact same thing? Let's take it to the most extreme. Let's say that it's exactly like the blia. So now let's try to conceptualize. So what's happening? I'm cooking something fleishik, and it produces the steam. The fleishik steam gets absorbed into the oven walls. Now I'm going to cook 10 hours later. The oven's cooled down. I'm going to cook something milchik. It's also going to produce steam. And now let's just think what happens. Now what are we concerned about? That is going to also get absorbed into the walls of the oven and then come out and get into the food? Even if we want to say that we're talking about blios, it's even the coming back into the food, it seems a little bit different. So it's hard to understand exactly what we are concerned about. Yeah, Carl?
No, you're worried about the fleishik aliyah in the oven coming kabolo kachpoto, and now that you heated it up again, it's going to come back out of the walls of the oven into your milk. It did,
but there's no mamashes.
No, but again... Again, how's it coming out?
That is a principle.
But it's not that. It didn't get absorbed mm-hmm. just from heat. It got absorbed from a combination of heat and steam.
So that we have the same conditions now.
Okay. So again,
that's where the principle comes back into effect. Now I'm worried about the blia, the fleishik blia in the walls of the oven coming into my milchik dish.
So we're not worried about the combination of the blios inside the walls of the oven.
We're not going to eat the oven.
Well, no, we don't eat the pot either. But we are concerned when our pot has blios, then the next thing that we're going to cook.
Worried about the milk food that you now.
But we're not worried about the food that the third food you're going to cook.
About that later.
That would also be a problem.
That's also an issue.
It'll be each one down the road.
Yeah. But without my mushrooms, what's going into the food?
So that's part of what the question is.
Also,
that's
part
of what the question
is. The oven
is
much hotter than a pot. The pot gets up to 212 degrees. The oven, anything goes in.
Well, it might make a difference.
Anything
it might
goes
make a difference.
If
we're worried about the oven, then whatever the oven was bolea, now it's going to be polea.
No, but the question is what and how was it bolea? What and how was it bolea?
That's the principle. Whatever it was is going to be rejected.
Again, but the Rosh never told us. Again, this is what's important. The Rosh never told us. Let's go back for a second. What was the case of the Rosh? Right, the Rosh was not talking about one after another. Right, the Rosh was talking about a case. We didn't mention it today, but again, the Rosh was talking about what case? If you have a ilfis choleves, a milk, a pot with milk in it, and you're putting it under a fleishik pot, and we're worried about it going straight into the pot, that could easily, one could differentiate between that and when then it's there at the same time versus one after another in the oven, right? So even this assumption is an extension of the chiddush of the Rosh. And that's how we have to try and understand exactly what are we concerned about.
Also, Rabbi, last week, why is it if the steam hits the outside bottom of the pot, do we call the whole pot usser? Like, why is the outside bottom affect the inside?
So the assumption was is that it's going to go through. How does it go through? Again, it's a little bit complicated. Usually we assume that you need a combination of heat and moisture in order for transfer to take place. I am guessing that what the rush means is that when the steam hits the bottom, it also creates moisture, which I think is usually the case. Right, when you have the condensation,
the bottom of the
flasher
pot becomes wet.
Right, and it does become wet.
But how does that affect the inside of the pot? Because that's
steam. It's like conducting electricity.
Right,
it just happens they were conducting bleos here.
Right, got it.
Okay. So the question. So that's one issue. One issue is what are we concerned about? The next issue is that even if we accept the rush. Do all foods produce steam? And do all foods produce the same amount of steam? And the answer to that is certainly no. Like, different foods produce different amounts of steam. And you know it from when, if you're the timer person, you have to open the oven and take out something. You might even be the cook. I'm zocha to sometimes be the person who has to take things out of the oven and not forget them. When you open the oven, depending on what's in there, the whoosh that hits you is going to be different. So that is a discussion in the poskim as well. And there, the poskim differentiate, and it makes sense between things that have liquid and things that are solid. The more liquid that there is, the more steam that is produced. Again, I think basically scientifically, it's somewhat logical that is the case. So even if we figure out what we are concerned about, there's going to be more of a reason to be concerned when we are dealing with something which produces large amounts of steam, less of a reason to be concerned when it is producing less steam. So what we got, that's sort of the backdrop to what we were talking about. So if now we want to try to apply that, we're going to go back to the Aruch HaShulchan again, in terms of we were presenting four different approaches. We got through two, but again, I want to look even at those two again, and bring in one other source as well. In terms of using an oven for milchiks and fleishiks one after another. At the same time, the basic psak is that if you have two items that are covered, then you don't have to be concerned about steam, because we assume that the steam is going to remain inside. Do you have to double wrap? The answer to that is that, yeah, this might be sound heretical, but I've done that before, so I'm not too scared. There's no such thing in halacha as double wrapping. Double wrapping. Double wrapping is simply a way of making sure that the wrapping doesn't rip. But if you have it, there's no halacha of putting a second layer on specifically. The concern is that if you only have one layer, then it is much more likely that something is going to accidentally tear it, and then your wrapping has been undermined. But if you had, I don't know, some really thick wrapping that you didn't, or if b'dieved, you put something in that should have been double wrapped and it was single wrapped, and you know that nothing, that it's still in good condition, then l'chora, that's going to be fine. It's going to be fine as well. If they both are covered, then we're certainly okay. If they're not going to be both covered, then that's going to get involved in the question that we didn't get. If it's a neutral oven that's never been used beforehand, and one is covered and one is uncovered, that's also not going to be a problem. I didn't give that example because I was waiting to get to when the oven's already been used for something, then that might affect the one which is... The one which is uncovered.
Something ever? Something within 24 hours? Or?
Right now I'm talking ever. Never. Because now we're going to talk about using the oven for different things back to back. That's what we are up to. That's what we are up to right now. Yeah.
I worry that this, when something's uncovered, that the steam is going to go through the pot into the food that's in the pot. It goes through the wall of the pot, so it's going to go through the cover also. The oven goes through the cover.
No, because it has. No, the point is that it.
So it's going to.
But then
how does it go through the other pot?
Because absorbed all the way through. an absorption.
Right, meaning you would need the other thing to be on top, to directly on top of it. Meaning if you had a pot sitting on top. It's going to go through, but again, at that point, it's not going to go through. It's going to conduct through. Mm-hmm. Meaning the steam itself isn't going to rise. We're not concerned that the steam is going to rise through the cover. We're concerned that if the steam is there, then that is going to allow the taste to continue through the pot. So that if you had something, you're right, if you had something directly on top of the foil, meaning touching it, then the steam would help that conduct through it. But without that, it's not going to go through. It's not going to go through. Okay. So what we mentioned last time was how much of a concern really should it be in using the oven for one, we'll call it fleishiks, followed by milchiks, again, let's call it in 2 hours later. What are we really concerned about? So if the oven's actually dirty, so that's the same thing as cooking them at the same time, right? Because then you have what we call mamashos. What's the difference between if you happen to have the milk in a pot, or if the milk is sitting on the, again, the milk's not going to sit, but you have a piece of cheese or whatever is sitting on the wall of the oven. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking the oven is clean. So what are we worried about? We're worried about some sort of residual from the zeya that remains. So that requires two assumptions. Assumption number one is that there is something that got stuck somewhere in the oven, and that can then that is going to then come out and be a concern for us.
What would have gotten stuck?
The steam.
So if something doesn't produce steam.
Yes. So if something does not produce steam, then we should not be having any problem whatsoever.
You don't have to wait for the oven to cool down.
Well. I didn't say that yet, but again, I didn't say that yet. Let's take it one step at a time. Even if it's going to be something which does produce steam, what are we really worried about? So we mentioned last time from the Aruch HaShulchan, and again we said that this was the Pesach of Rav Shechter as well. I believe that Rav Shechter told me at the time that Rav Shuah paskin this way as well. Again, at least me'ikar hadin, which is that our ovens, and again, we're going to have two opposite svaras here. I didn't mention one of them last week. This is the one we did mention last week, is that our ovens are big, and therefore the steam, it does not have the same intensity that it have, and whatever it is that the steam would normally accomplish doesn't happen. And therefore, once the oven cools down, there is nothing to be concerned about. There's no blia, there's no residual on the walls, there is nothing to be concerned about. And therefore, as long as your oven is clean, you can use it for the next one as soon as you want. We said that there's a svara to say that it should cool down. Why is that? That's because of reicha, right? Because of the aroma. So we have concern with that, which is why I mentioned that on Yontif, if you do rely on using your oven for one after the other, and on Yontif the oven's not going to cool down in between, it's mistaber to me that as long as you wait long enough that you don't have any aroma, it doesn't smell like it anymore, maybe it's longer than otherwise, then there should no longer be any problem. Because that was never a Zeya issue. Mm-hmm. That is a Reicha issue. And if you assume like this, then there is no concern whatsoever of using the ovens for, again, clean ovens for one followed by the other. Again, me'ikar hadin, it certainly seems like that is the. It makes a lot of sense that should be the halacha. There, yeah.
How far would you extend that? Let's say Pesach, would you not have to kosher your oven for Pesach?
So chumra de chametz, we would probably again as we normally are. We are again. You might not even extend this to isura. Meaning, you could be. There's a difference when it comes to certain things between isura bala and hetera bala. Me'ikar hadin, it could be it would help for bidi'evid situations, even when it comes to isura and the like. But there certainly is a svara to say that it should help in those situations as well. Lahalach, I don't think anybody would say that. Again, we are extra meticulous when it comes to chametza, when it comes to isur in general. Now there is an opposite svara, which leads to the same result. And that svara, I actually find somewhat compelling. It's brought down in several of the poskim, and they basically suggest as follows, that the issue of zeya in our ovens is less dafka because they are closed ovens. And not because of the ventilation, but because our ovens, I think somebody mentioned this beforehand, our ovens get so hot that whatever we'll call it the mamushas, whatever the substance of the zeya is that hits the walls of the oven, as soon as it hits it, it gets burnt up on the spot. It never can settle in, and therefore never becomes a problem whatsoever. And therefore, you would be allowed to use the same, again, you reach the same conclusion for the opposite. It's an opposite svara. Mm-hmm. It's not because the ovens are larger and there's no concentration. It's that because even if you want to say there is a concentration, mm-hmm. but the concentration results in a heat which is so intense. Again, not that their ovens did not have intense heat, but again, their ovens often had were open on different sides because of just the general construction of how they were able to make things, and therefore you would actually come to the same conclusion for a different reason. It was interesting. I saw a quoted from several of the again, I didn't see them all quoted by name, but some of the halacha svarim out of Lakewood, that this was what Rav Aaron Cutler paskins. So again, it would be the same sock as Rav Shechter, Balav Mitameh, meaning in the coming from the opposite svara. But I think in a certain sense it's a very compelling svara, because what it speaks to, and again this sounds like the mashmos and the poskim in general, even the ones that are concerned, is that it's not just about a bliya. It's almost like they're afraid that there's the zeya is leaving. I don't know if residue is the right word, but there's something which is left, and about which you need to be concerned. So that was the first approach that we had from last time. Now, if you're talking about something, even if you want to see this thing left behind, but the second item is not going to produce any steam, then you l'chora should not have to be concerned. Because again, even if you want to assume some sort of kabolo kapoto, you need that steam to get there in order. It's not just the heat, right? It's a combination of the heat and the steam. So if your second food is not going to be producing any steam, which again, we usually assume that dry solids do not produce steam. Some, again, and here is where, again, you can, the chumras end up building on each other. Some assume that we have to assume that everything produces steam until it's proven otherwise. We assume that nothing produces steam until you prove that it hasn't. Again, and the more that you assume that me'ikar hadin, there probably isn't a concern in our ovens at all, then those layers become less concerning. But if one wanted to be concerned and assume that if it was two items that we know produce steam, I'm not going to use them one after another because I am concerned about what's coming out, then even there, there would be a svar to say that if I'm not cooking them at the same time, and you probably want to be concerned about the reicha as well, so you'd wait for it to cool down, then even within, we'll get to 24 hours in a second, even within 24 hours, even without kashering it, you would be able to use it with the dry form of the other. The same thing would be true about using it at the same time if the one which is open is dry. We just need to make sure that one of the two has to remain covered, because then we're afraid that one of those. I think the poskim are machmer. Because we're also concerned about potential splatter. There are too many. Once they're in the oven at the same time, it seems like the poskim are more concerned. Should they be concerned meikar hadin? It could be where misvara. What you're saying is right, but practically, that far, I don't think they go. I do not think. And then also, if you line them up wrong, and you put one under the other, you could end up with trouble.
Are we assuming we're talking about non-self cleaning ovens?
Right now, it doesn't matter because we're not talking about koshering yet.
If you see a self cleaning oven after you put it in a process.
Yeah, but if you clean it between,
the problem with the self again, we'll get to it in a minute. But the problem with the self cleaning oven is that you're not supposed to self clean a self cleaning oven, apparently. That's what the oven repair people who come to fix your oven after you're self-clean and say, well, why do you self-clean the oven? I don't know. Maybe because it had a self-cleaning mode, so I thought it was a good idea. But they're like, no, you're not really supposed to self-clean the oven. We'll get to that question about self-cleaning versus not in a second. But so that's the first approach when it comes to the ovens.
Does this logic work with treif as well? If I mean, like, just milk and kefesh instead of both kosher. What about if I put?
The answer is that in theory it should, but we're more machmir when it comes to treif, and there certainly is going to be more of a reason that the way that we have to be koshered is going to be different, because there is a difference between what we call hetera bala and yisura bala, when what's absorbed is mutter versus what absorbed is. Is usher.
Why? If it's Basar B'Cholim, it's still usher, just even...
It wasn't absorbed as such. Mm. It wasn't absorbed as such.
What do you mean?
When it went into the oven, it was heter, meaning either milk or it was milk. If you started out cooking Basar B'Cholim, then yeah, then that would be Yisura Bala.
Right.
But that's not the case. Okay, that was the first approach. The second approach, and again, I know we said this last time, but I want to get it, I'm hoping that this is going to be a little clearer than last time, was what he quoted from Rabbi Avadia Yosef, and from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, with a slight distinction, I believe, between the two of them. The Rav Avadia was concerned about using them one after another, but therefore he said he needed to do something to make sure that there's no zeya possibly remaining. And therefore, Rabbi Avadia said that if you want to cook milchiks after fleishiks, you should wait 24 hours in between. And then he said something, again, it was hard to know exactly what he meant, about putting it on the highest setting for 20 minutes in order to kosher it. And then he said, and even if you kosher it within 24 hours, you also have what to rely on. So what's that svara? He said, right, in limchos biyadam sheishle mamash sheismochu, that you have what to to rely on there as well. So I think
either you waited or you burnt it.
Is what I'm sorry?
You either waited so it's a ben yomo or you burnt it so that there's no issue. So that's why even if it was less than 24 hours, if you.
Right. So again, normally when it comes to what we call Liban Kal, we don't rely on that because we assume that it's a little bit broader than I want to get into right now. But there are two fundamentally different ways of kashering. We have Hagalah, right? when you do Hagalah, so you put something into boiling water. What does it do? I think we spoke about this before Pesach maybe. Right. It pulls the bliya out. And it's mevatel it. Mm-hmm. It's mevatel it. As opposed to libun, which destroys it. Mm-hmm. And that's why you have to wait 24 hours before Hagalah. You don't have to wait 24 hours before libun, because when it comes to bittul, we want to make sure that whatever tam is going to come out is a tam pogum, right? It's a negative flavor. So that happens automatically after 24 hours. When it comes to libun, we don't care what happens or what the status is, because it's going to be so refit bim komo. The poskim assume that what we call libun kal, which is a lower temperature libun, the Gemara, the descriptions that the Gemara gives for libun, seem to correlate with temperatures that are higher than our ovens get, something on 700-800 degrees, where you would take a piece of paper and put it against the wall and it would ignite. It doesn't seem to happen at the temperatures.
451
degrees.
451
degrees.
Fahrenheit 451.
Ray Bradbury.
Well, that's where
Ray is straw the same thing? Hmm? Maybe yeah. it's
paper.
If you took it and put it after you put it, it would catch on fire?
If you Fahrenheit 451, it's a book.
I know about the book. I don't care about the book. I care about the Metzius. If you would take it in your oven, really? It's, interesting.
No.
Okay, we'll try it.
Yeah.
It
means
the
inside
gets 451. The walls, right? The walls.
Well, if you have a piece of metal that's 451 degrees, and you put this on top.
But if your oven is reading 450, are the walls 450 or is the cavity 450?
No, they are. I bake bread actually, and I use parchment paper.
Right.
I tell you that once you get over 450, the parchment paper starts to char.
Okay.
All right, and it's not even making contact with the walls. So
if it made contact, it would catch a fire.
I've never tried.
Let's not try it at home. Okay, so for now, we're just going to take the words of the consensus of the poskim is that it does not reach the temperatures necessary for Liban Gomer. And therefore, it's the equivalent of Liban Kal. So when you're saying that you're putting it on to the highest temperature that the oven is going, it's a Kibolo Kach Polto Svara, which means we're allowing it to come out. It's not being so refit in its place. So why would it be that this would be sufficient? So he suggests over here, right? Rabbi Avadia acknowledges those who kash them within 24 hours also have a base which punish to rely. This happens, but again, it doesn't explain what the it doesn't really explain what the reason is.
He said it's either or. You either wait 24 hours, or you can.
No, he did not.
He said it's right here at the end. Because one who holds lechatchila, one may kasha the oven within 24 hours use, or...
That's Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's opinion.
Yeah.
Right, no, that's not Rav Avadia. Right?
No, he's relying on that. He's relying on Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Avadia's relying on Rav Aaron.
That's definitely not the case.
Look what it says here.
With all due respect to Rav Aaron, that's not the case.
No,
that's a conflation that just came out because of the way that they summarized it in English. That's not that is not what happened. I think what the svara is, and again, I don't have a proof for it. Is that again, it comes down to the fact that the concern seems to be that there's maybe something remaining. And therefore, if we do something, some process, which addresses that there may be something left, any process, kol shehu, is going to suffice. That process could be allowing it to become pogum, which would happen after 24 hours. Alternatively, it could be, if you raise the temperature, we're not trying to do a classic koshering. We're trying to do more of a... I would call it almost like a halachic cleaning. Right, we're trying to get rid of whatever might be there, and therefore that is going to be sufficient. He quotes over here that Rabbi Jachter wanted to suggest that the grounds for leniency for simply waiting 24 hours are the prohibition of using a dairy utensil meat is only rabbinic more than 24. Okay, fine, let's skip that. Oh, the next part. The logic for kashering the oven within 24 hours, that strictly speaking, kashering through Libun may be performed through 24 hours for use through the customs to Machmir. Interesting. So that's an interesting suggestion, is that maybe we'll be makil on what the Liban is, because the whole thing is a chumrah to start off with. Which again is really the underlying theme to all of this, and again is what he says in the next part also, is that me'ikar hadin, it really seems that this whole thing is a bit of a chumrah. Right? It's not clear that we accept the rush to begin with. It's not clear that it applies to our oven. It's not clear that all the foods are going to produce the steam. So there are so many layers that it gives us a lot more room to be lenient. However, Rav Moshe was fairly machmir. And that was the third approach I don't think we actually got to last time. And Rav Moshe had a bit of a different approach. And he writes in number 26 on page 36, Hinei betanure ha-geaz shebeminin ha-ziu imyesh chashash zeyeh bebishlu tapshah shabasa megula leso levashah ha-chargah tapshah shechol megula. Right? In our gas ovens. Somebody wanted to suggest that Rav Moshe is saying gas as opposed to electric. I don't see what. Are there differences in terms of the temperatures that it can reach in gas and electric? I would assume not.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But, okay. Is there any concern? So he writes whatever he writes. It's V'lachin im ha-yazeya Ein lahatu levashu tavshu basur v'tavshu chol megun apazach adzel izman meruba. He is not very comfortable if it's an item that produces steam to cook, right, an uncovered meat dish and a dairy dish, even consecutively, even if it's been a long time. But here he writes, and this is an important... So according to the approach of Rav Moshe, one would have to designate the oven as one or the other, right? The fleishik oven or milchik oven. And then let's call it a fleishik for now, because I think most people cook more fleishik than milchiks. And then if you want to cook milchiks, the milchiks would have to be covered if it is something that produces zeya. And here is where Rav Moshe has a kula, right? Or of sorts. Avam esupakani, or at least he's not sure, im choshashin bistama lezeya. Do we have to really be worried about Zeya when we don't know that it produces Zeya? That's what I mentioned earlier. So Rav Moshe seems to be at least a bit more lenient when it comes to, certainly when it comes to dry foods, and maybe even if it's something that we don't know produces steam. But otherwise, he generally is machmir that again he does not seem to be a fan of kashering in between. Is there a downside? Meaning, what would be the reason not to kasher in between? It would probably have to do because he believed that you can't kasher an oven. Mm-hmm. He thought that you can't kasher an oven because without a self-cleaning cycle, you can't get it hot enough. Mm-hmm. So again, that, you know, back in the, I don't know, days before I'm familiar with, right? The Talmidim of Rav Moshe had oven inserts, right? Because the only, before self-cleaning modes in ovens were put in place, the only way you could possibly kasher it for Pesach, and that was where it came up more importantly, the only way you could kasher it for Pesach is by putting on the highest temperature and getting its highest temperature again. Rav Moshe thought that doesn't work. He didn't think that's going to suffice. And therefore, the only way you could use your oven is to put something physical inside. The people that still use them when they have self-cleaning modes seems like it's just like, because that's what the Bubby did. I mean, there is no reason. Again, it's not that Rav Moshe, I don't think, that Rav Moshe thought it was impossible to kasher an oven. Rav Moshe did not think you could kasher an oven at the temperatures that our ovens were able to reach. Therefore, the only way to do it was a blowtorch. Mm-hmm. Which we never recommend. It's on definitely not on home ovens. It's, something bad will happen. Hopefully not to the person or the house, but certainly at least to the oven. So it's not going to end though. So because of that, l'chora is why Roy says you have to designate it, because he thinks you would need to kasher it in between, and there is no real way to kasher it in between. Is there any other reason not to kasher it in between? So potentially. Potentially. There is a minhag that is brought down in the poskim that we don't kasher from milchiks to fleishiks and fleishiks to milchiks. Why not? Because imagine for a moment that you have, you know, a certain, you know, silverware or something like that that you always use for fleishiks, but you're having a certain meal and you want to use it for milchik, and you eventually at some point it's going to get confused and you're going to end up using it for the wrong thing. Therefore, our minhag that we don't, unless you're kashering it for Pesach anyway, then you can switch it. Mm-hmm. Or, unless it became usser. Once it becomes usser, then you can kasher it and make it into the other one. Why? I think because it's kind of like a milsa de lo shchicha, meaning it's not so common that is going to happen, and therefore we do not have the concern. The question is, when it comes to the oven, do we have such a concern or not? So most of the poskim, and again, this was why I think that even, you know, if Rav Aaron Lichtenstein or Rav Avadia was concerned that normally they would not allow you to switch back and forth, when it comes to the ovens, it's a much more far-fetched concern, because the whole thing is a chumrah to get off with, and therefore, if this is the normal practice, and again, I think some people do have this practice of constantly switching their ovens back and forth, then if they don't want it, so some poskim, again, I think that's what the last one is based on, they go to the full extreme and do not want even things that are do not produce steam to be the ovens. Maybe it does produce steam, and you can't kasher it in between. But lemaisa, there seems to be much to rely on. Again, if people have a specific minhag of, again, let's backtrack for 1 second. Right, most, it seems to be, at least in my limited kitchen knowledge, most milchik thing, again, if the oven is used primarily for fleishiks, most milchik things are dry or can be cooked covered. Mm-hmm. So you don't usually have the reason. Again, even though, like, as I said last time, in my house, I do hold me'ikar hadin, that you can use the ovens for anything as long as they cool down in between and as long as the ovens are clean. But the number of times that it actually comes up lemaisa, that you're cooking something which produces steam, and it's something which can't be covered, are few and far between. This doesn't happen that often. Again, maybe if it's out there, then you cook a lot of dairy, it's going to happen more often. But it's, so again, if one it wants to be careful, it's not that difficult. But to know that there are, is a lot to rely on in the cases of difficulty, I think it's still helpful. And Bifrat, if you're going to have to do it every so often, and you can rely, again, on the waiting in 24 hours, heating it, the Liban column between, there are things which can be, there are things that can be done. But I think, keeping in mind the perspective that, again, whether it's because of the Svara or Rav Shechter or the opposite, again, we should do the Aruch HaShulchan first, or the opposite Svara, that the fact that the Zeya in our ovens is maybe not even the same Zeya that the Rush was concerned about is a somewhat compelling Svara. So again, I don't think anybody should change from whatever their practice is. But again, when something gets messed up and you have a concern, I don't think you have to get too tzehitzed either. There's a lot to rely on in the poskim and should not be a cause of stress or a reason to get a fourth oven. You know, we have three ovens, we have a little bit of trouble, but we have no room for a fourth oven. But I think, again, hopefully this is a little bit clearer. And Emirat Hashem, next time we'll move on with microwaves, dishwashers, and stove tops. And hopefully we'll have books if I don't drop the ball in it again.